Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Dr. John Wood. John's been with us all week talking to us about a really fantastic new book he's written called The Light Entrusted to You, Keeping the Flame of Faith Alive, and keeping it not only alive in your own heart, in your marriage, but in your family as the fundamental place he wants us to really come to understand as parents and family that our primary responsibility of raising kids to become disciples and saints is ours, and God really wants to help us do just that. And from the home, it spreads out to neighborhood, it spreads out to city, it spreads out all over the place. So it's been a fantastic and exciting week. If you haven't had a chance to hear the programs, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them and listen to them on whatever device at whatever time suits you. So welcome back, John.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a great week, and I've enjoyed delving into all of this with you this week.
It's genuinely inspiring. It's been very good and a lot of fun. You got to just feel like you're part of a great adventure, which is cool, which is what Christianity is.
It is. It's an adventure. It's a story. Yeah. We're in part of that story.
So here we are at the conclusion. What are your concluding thoughts in the book and anything you might want to say to our listeners as we wrap up?
Yeah, and I think there's two messages here. I think, one, I hope that people take away a challenge that, we kind of talked about earlier that we need kind of a halftime speech, that to shake us up a little bit. I think God wants to shake us up. And you can look at studies and you can look at statistics. You can see, you don't even need to see those statistics. You can go into a church and you can see there's a decline in marriages, there's a decline in baptisms, there's a decline in and people, living their faith, and something has to change. And I don't want people to be comfortable, because when we're comfortable, nothing changes. These statistics should shake us up. They should anger us. But at the same time, I want to encourage people that I wrote this book because I think there's been an explosion of great resources just in the last decade that can help us as parents, as grandparents, family, friends, to learn and fall in love with our faith and pass it on to the next generation. We're not alone. I think there's good things starting to happen, that there's a lot of great books, DVDs, CDs, programs. There's just a lot of things that can help you in your journey. You don't have to do it alone. And I wanted to share those things in this book and encourage people that it's only halftime and things will change. And the church is going to win. God wins in the end. Well, that's the advantage of Christianity. We know good wins in the end, and we can't get despair. We have to have hope. In the conclusion, I just want to really encourage people to build. It was 800 years ago when St. Francis heard that voice from the crucifix that said, "Francis, rebuild my church. It's in ruins." And of course, Francis got bricks and mortar, and he began to build the church in San Damiano. And then he heard the voice again, "Francis, rebuild my church. It's in ruins." And he began to understand that the church isn't a building. The church is a family, and it's the greatest family in the universe. And I think God wants to say the same thing to us today. Business as usual isn't going to cut it. We need heroic Catholicism. And in the conclusion of this book, I use a scene from a movie. Again, I use a lot of movies and sports and music and art in the book. And the great movie Miracle. I like hockey, and the movie Miracle from about the 1980s.
Love that movie.
U.S.
I'm
Olympic
a Minnesota
team.
Boy, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It was 1980. I was in college and saw a lot of those guys play high
Brooks,
school and the rest of it.
Yeah. So Coach Brooks, I think in the church we need a Coach Brooks. Here's a coach who's told to take a bunch of ragtag college guys who are from all these different colleges all over the country, to bring them together, and they're teenagers and you're in their early 20s, and they have to come together in a matter of months to form a team, and then they have to face these Russians who have been playing together for 20 or 30 years and have won the gold medal like three times in a row. So like, it's just impossible odds. And so you can see in their training, he keeps asking them, "What's your name and who do you play for?" And they'll say things like, "Well, I play for Boston College, or I play for UMD Bulldogs, or I play for North Dakota, or Minnesota Gophers." They just keep naming their college and who they played for. And then there's this exhibition game they go to, and they're just lazy. They're going through motions. There's no passion there. And Coach Brooks is just steaming mad. And he brings them in, and he says, "You don't want to work during the game? We'll work after the game." And they just start, doing these suicides back and forth.
They called them Herbies, didn't they?
The Herbies, He's like back, and he just keeps saying again, again, again. And you start feeling bad. It's hard to even watch. They can't even stand up anymore. And he's just like, again, again. And then finally, the guy who's going to become captain, he just shouts out his name, Mike Ruzioni. And he can't even breathe, and he's got his hands on his knees. And Coach Brooks says, well, who do you play for? And he says, I play for the United States of America. And Coach Brooks says, well, that'll be all, gentlemen, because he wants them to understand that the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the one on the back. And as we, you know, lose vocations and we have all these schools closing, we have all these parishes closing, there's some bitterness there. And if we don't work together and remember that we're one team, that we're one church and the greatest family in the universe, then we're not going to prosper. You know, St. Peter Parish alone isn't going to do it, or St. Paul Parish, or you don't just belong to your parish, you belong to the universal church, mm-hmm. you know, a family. And we need to start working together to rebuild the church. And I love the image of the cathedrals. You know, nobody really knows who built the great cathedrals of Europe, because some of them took 100 years to build. And there's people that say, you know, a cathedral like that couldn't be built in this day and age because nobody's really willing to sacrifice to that degree. Let's be honest, they probably didn't even realize that they'd ever live to see it built, you know, and nobody's really willing to make that sacrifice. But when we pass on our faith and we share it with our family and our friends and especially our own kids, that's kind of what we're doing. We're building the cathedrals. And you may not ever live in this life to see all the fruit that that's going to bear. But, you know, one day those kids are going to go out into the world and they're going to reveal the beauty and the mystery of God's love, just like the great cathedrals. Mm-hmm. And it's worth building that church. Yeah. It's worth sharing that faith. It's worth dying for. But I'm not asking people to die. I'm asking them to live. Mm-hmm. We need people in this country willing to live their faith. You know, people are tired of people telling them about Jesus. They want somebody to show them Jesus, and especially our kids. Yeah. They can spot a fake from a mile away. You want them to be saints? Be saints. Yeah. And build that church.
And you don't have to be perfect. I'm thinking of what we talked earlier in the week about maybe the men who are listening to the program and challenging men, because, you know, there's guys who dream about building something, like building a successful business, building a team, doing something great, you know, and maybe someone who listened have tasted that, and maybe you're riding to work right now and you're thinking, I love my job, man. I love what I'm doing. And that's great. But you know what? If you build the most successful business the world's ever seen, and your children don't come to know God, you die a failure.
Yeah.
Right? Because literally, the most important thing the Lord wants you to build is his kingdom in your own home.
Yeah.
And you can do it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Guys are passionate when they're involved in stuff because they see a goal. They say, I got the gifts to do this. I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
And they get super excited about it. And great things happen. You use your natural gifts. Well, the Lord wants to give you, and you have as a father and a mother, everything you need to build that home. With Christ at the center of your life, he will help you build something beautiful that will last for all eternity.
Yeah, he needs your yes. He needs your effort. He needs your best. Yeah. And again, it's not about you. The weight of the world is not on your shoulders. Yeah. We already have a Savior. But you have to play your part and understand that your part is important. And men especially need to know that. They need to know my role matters. I have a goal. I have a mission. I have a purpose on this life. It's like Saving Private Ryan. You were drop in behind enemy lines, and you're called to save Private Ryan or Private Rachel or Private Robert or every soul you encounter. And think about that mission. Like, 100 years is a short time to live when there's so many souls to be saved. Yeah. And we can play a part in that. God allows us to participate in salvation history by offering up our sacrifices, our sufferings, our prayers for others. You know, we are a big part of that, and we can make a difference.
So people may be listening to the program today who are saying, you know, I'd love to do that, but we just haven't done that in the home. And as a couple, we hardly ever talk about this. We feel awkward talking about it. We don't know what to do exactly. And we feel like we're failing, but we don't know where to begin. What would you say?
Begin with prayer. Begin with the sitting in front of the divine architect, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, the Martha and Mary thing. You got to start by knowing God and getting the plans first from the divine architect. We're so busy and distracted. Yeah. And I'm not telling people that you have to leave everything in this world behind to put God first. I'm just saying start putting God first in everything in this world. Like in your job, God comes first. When you go to work, it's for the glory of God. When you play sports, it's for the glory of God. When you have a marriage and you're raising kids, it's all for the glory of God. And if you do that, and if you trust God, and you spend that time in prayer, and you listen, then eventually he'll begin to speak to your heart slowly, little by little. He doesn't show you a big floodlight and see all the plans ahead so you can see everything. He just, you know, your light is like a lamp unto my feet. I can see the next step,
yeah.
You know, and he'll give you the next step. And then you have to step out in faith and trust. And again, it starts with prayer, and mm-hmm. it's not about being perfect. All the saints were sinners. Mm-hmm. A saint is just a sinner who keeps trying, and it's about effort. Mm-hmm. Thomas Merton has one of my favorite prayers. He's like, I have no idea what I'm doing, Lord. And the fact that I think I know I'm doing your will doesn't mean that I am, but I have a desire to please you. Mm-hmm. And that desire to please you, I believe, does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I do. Yeah. That's all it takes. I mean, He's just asking for your best. He's asking for you to listen and trust and to try your best. He'll do all the rest. But we have to take the first step. And that starts with prayer. And it starts with sitting at the feet of Jesus and asking, what's my mission? Where do you want me to go?
Yeah,
and then
well
saying
said.
Yes.
No, that's really well said. And I think it's not changing the whole structure of your life and turning away from your job or anything like that. It's just really simple. The Lord's concerned about your heart. He wants to get in there. He wants you to give him permission to come into your heart in a very deep level and sit at the center of your life. And kind of let him be in the driver's seat, however you want to put it, way of looking at it, so that he can help lead you as you take responsibility in a fuller way for your own life spiritually, for your marriage spiritually, for your children. And then you just start with the things that are already there, like, okay, you have meals together, the family, using them wisely. No phones at the table. Make sure you say a prayer before the meal. Tune into each other. How you doing? How's your day going? Talk about real stuff. Maybe you might have a little something that happened in prayer that morning, Dad. You might want to say at the table. But, you know, just take baby steps like that, you know?
Yeah. Father Ricardo, he's a great teacher for me. And he challenged me, you know, just listening to him a few years ago, to set aside a day of the week for each member of the family and pray for them on that day. You know, especially as a dad, as an introvert, I've always been introverted. Growing up, I don't think I ever said a spontaneous prayer in my life. But he said, you know, at mealtime, just lift up one of your children, because we have to correct them a lot, but we need to praise them. And so just, mm-hmm. Lord, we lift up Isabel. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings she's given us in our life. We ask you to help her to become who you created her to be. Help her to know how much you love her and how much we love her. That's powerful. I mean, that's not deep theology. That's relationship, and we can all do that. It's not comfortable for me. I mean, still not. But hey, you know, step up, be a man, or, you know, be a mom, be a dad, be a disciple. It's not going to be comfortable. You weren't made for comfort, Pope Benedict said.
Right.
He said you were made for greatness.
Yeah. We have just about a minute and a half left. Do you want to tell folks how to get the book and how to just get in touch with your ministry more directly?
Yeah. Just my main website is extraordinarymission.com. You'll see all my products on the website. And this brand new book, The Light Entrusted to You, you'll see a link to get that book. You can get it through Ignatius Press is the publisher. You can get it through Amazon. If you want all the different resources that I mentioned in the book, the website that goes along with the book is saintsinthemaking.com, and you'll find a link to that on the main website.
You do parish missions and things, don't you? You want to tell friends about
that? Yeah, I do lots of parish missions. If you go to my events page, you'll see I'm all over the country, so I enjoy sharing my faith. Go to that events page, you'll see if I'm in your area, or if you'd like to bring me to your area, I'd love to do that. And so there's a little link there. You can request an event.
Very good, John. It's been great to have you here this week. I've been inspired by it. Friends, I want to encourage you, too, if you're a priest listening to the program, a DRE or whatever, somebody just engage in your parish, you think, wow, it'd be wonderful to bring John to your parish. I really want to encourage you to do that. I think John is a gift, really, for the church, someone the Lord is raising up, a next generation sort of teacher, evangelist, leader, father, husband, the whole bit, that can really speak a kind of language that will touch everybody in the parish. So I'd encourage you to give him a call, because you're going to enjoy the grace that comes through it. So God bless you, John.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a great pleasure.
Right. Have a good weekend, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.